one thing I appreciate with this family here is we have an appreciation, and we've been given some glimpse of how valuable and how precious, how instructive and correcting, what a foundation the Word of God is. And I want to open this morning with one verse from Mark chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, he commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. So Jesus was sending out the 12, two by twos, and with just a staff. So my question this morning is, do you think the disciples had any idea what the staff was for or what it represented? I would submit they had some idea. They knew something of what a staff represented in what we now call the Old Testament. And we're going to look at just momentarily glance at three prominent saints that, of course, they would have been aware of. And that first saint is Moses. With Moses, it was the staff that became a serpent that swallowed the serpents of Pharaoh's magicians, right? It was the staff that Moses carried that parted the waters of the Red Sea. What a wonderful miracle. And then I want to read from Exodus. From chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. And this is concerning the Passover. Thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So the staff was to be held in hand as you eat the Passover, and prepare to be delivered, to be carried with you in your pilgrimage. For Moses, it was a symbol of the very call of God on Moses' life. It was a symbol of God's protecting power and God's badge of authority in Moses' life. Moses couldn't leave home without it. It was a symbol of God's presence to Moses. Now I want to go further in Exodus here to an amazing, to me, one of the most amazing conversations we have recorded for us, between the Lord and Moses, from Exodus chapter 33, mm-hmm. verses 12 through 17. Excuse me. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by my name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Hallelujah. That's an amazing conversation that we have recorded for us. But what's even more amazing, the Lord's attitude is the same with us. But I really appreciate what Moses said. He said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses depended on God's presence. So do we understand that this is the Father's heart toward us, each of us, to go with us, to give us his presence? If you don't hear anything else today, please hear this. The Lord wants to go with us. He wants to be present in our life. Now I want to look at David, another saint that I'm sure these disciples could recall. Now, what was one of David's greatest feats? When he slew Goliath. So let's look at a couple of verses regarding that encounter. From 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verses 39 and 40. David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. So we always recall that David slew the Philistines with 5 stones, but the first thing he took with him was his staff. David had to have his staff with him. It was not just a weapon of offense or defense. It was not a tool to climb mountains. It was a support and a symbol of David's trust in the power and presence of God. It was a symbol of God's promises to David. And David used it not only as a shepherd, but came to know his Lord as his shepherd. And of course, we can recall from the 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of different conversations about, was the rod and staff two different things? I don't think so. Many commentators actually say the rod and staff was one long tool. And the staff was the long portion, and the crook at the end of the staff was the rod. And it wasn't just for correction, the rod. Sometimes it was what the shepherd used to pull the sheep out of trouble, out of bad situations. So David came to know the presence of God, even the correction by God, and it was a comfort to him. The rod and the staff of the Lord are a comfort to David. The last saint brother I want to mention is dear old Jacob. We've all studied a lot about Jacob. His name, of course, means supplanter. What was Jacob most of his life? A conniver. But God used Jacob and God taught Jacob. His whole life had been changed by the grace and mercy of God. He began his life by stealing Esau's birthright, but he was converted as he wrestled all night long with the angel of the Lord. I believe that was Jesus. By daybreak, he became a man of faith, love, and charity. He came to understand what it meant to walk with the staff of God on his side. And the last verse I want to touch on is from Hebrews. At the end of Jacob's life. And it's a familiar verse. From chapter 11, verse 21. And there's a reason that the Lord records this for us. By faith, Jacob, catch that, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. It was an act of faith. And even being able to worship the Lord, Jacob knew. It required the presence of the Lord. It required the nearness of God. It required the help of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is what Jacob had learned in his years. The Lord rewards those who seek him. But we have to be constantly seeking and leaning and dependent on God's presence in our life. He's there at this time, and by this time in his life, the end of his life, he's a feeble man. He's probably being propped up in bed. But his staff was not a prop. There's a reason it's here. Jacob's faith, his ability to worship, was centered and it was dependent on God's presence in his life. All three of these saints, through their lives, had come to know without God's presence, nothing matters. I always come back to dear old Enoch, and I'm looking forward to meeting that brother. He walked with God. He walked with God, and then he was no more. The Lord took him home. So I believe the disciples had some idea of why the Lord instructed them to take just a staff. No supplies, no money. Not even two tunics. Just take a staff. But I think, and I don't have any scripture to back this up, but I think when they returned home, they had a greater understanding what it was that they carried the Lord with them. And that's the only way we can survive, brothers and sisters, especially in this evil world. We have to carry the Lord with us. It is a choice. It is a will. We have to decide today. I'm going to take the Lord with me. I'm dependent on the Lord. And if his presence does not go with us, don't take us up. Don't take us on this journey. We can't go on this pilgrimage unless your presence goes with us. So do we understand how important and critical that we take the Lord with us, that we rely on the Lord for everything, for power, for authority, even the ability to worship? We're dependent upon the Lord. So I would just close. excuse me, with a quote from a brother named John Piper, and I've doctored it a little, but he writes, "The most fundamental change of heart and mind in a Christian is to treasure and rely on the presence of God and Jesus more than anything else, with all that we are, with all that we have." Amen. Maybe we could sing the last two verses of How Firm a Foundation. If you don't mind leading us, Mike.
As Jesus paid it all. Wrong song. Sorry. When through the deep water.
No, wrong tune.
When through fiery trials your pathway shall
go,
the rivers of sorrow
shall
not overflow, nor I will be with you in trouble to bless and sanctify to you your deepest distress. When through fiery trials
your
pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you, I only desire your dross to consume and your gold to refine.
And verse 6, please.
The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
Maybe we could have a couple prayers, please.